Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Sivya Ryder with us, who just written a very nice book, pretty relevant to what's going on in the workplace, called Briefcases and Baby Bottles, The Working Mother's Guide to Nurturing a Jewish Home. How are you, Sivya? How's everything?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you for having me on your show.
No, it's my pleasure. We always like to have really relevant topics and, you know, things that we know people are going to be really interested in. And this is obviously a pretty important topic today, perhaps when so many people are actually working and there are spouses that are working and they have to deal with that. So I guess, is that the reason you wrote the book, I mean, to begin with?
Yes, I wrote this book. I always say that I wrote it so I could read it. Because I myself was really dealing with a lot of the challenges of being a working mother and trying to manage, you know, so many different responsibilities and do them justice. And I just felt like I needed myself a resource for support and just really just some help in learning to do this in the best way possible.
So what do you do, actually?
So I work at Ohel Beis Ezra.
Okay, great.
I'm one of the directors at Beis Ezra. We provide services to people with developmental disabilities.
And this is in Brooklyn, or?
We have offices all over. All over New York. We have offices in New Jersey. And, you know, it's a job that I actually find to be very meaningful, which helps. Which helps when you have to spend so many hours outside of the home. But still, you know, still a challenge.
And so tell me about your family life so that we could everybody could kind of understand the challenges.
Sure. So I have four daughters, Blia and Hara. I have four daughters. I have a one-year-old. I have a four-year-old, a six-year-old, and an eight-year-old. And like all young children, they have a lot of needs. So it's a lot to juggle.
So your job is, you don't have to travel out of town on your job, so you're not away at nights and you're not away for long stretches of time, correct?
You know, my job situation has really morphed over the years, like sort of along with my family and my family's needs. I've adjusted my hours. I've worked more hours. I've worked less hours. My situation right now is somewhat flexible. I work 3 days, but they're very long days. So the days that I'm gone are definitely hard on my kids. And I don't always get home as early as I would like to. But I have the flexibility, you know, in terms of the other days that I am home, and we just, you know, try to make it work.
And what is your husband, what kind of hours does he keep?
My husband works for the city of New York.
Okay.
He works in computers, and, you know, he works full-time. And I do find that when both parents work full-time, it could be very hard on the kids. You know, it helps when at least one parent has a more flexible situation. You know, in my case, I don't work every day, so that definitely helps. You need to have sort of one parent available, if at all possible, for those emergencies and childcare emergencies and medical issues and different needs that arise with the kids. But, you know, every family has to sort of work that out, you know, together.
Oh, no, absolutely. So who's really the target audience for the book?
So the target audience for my book, I think, are all those, you know, Orthodox Jewish working moms, like myself, who juggle, you know, career, we juggle family needs. I think in the Jewish community, we tend to have larger families, so there's, you know, more needs. We also, I think, are involved in community life. There's chesed obligations, there's preparing for Shabbos every week, which is really hard to do when you work on Friday. So I just think there's a lot of special concerns for the, you know, Orthodox Jewish mom. And I really felt that it was important for us to have those concerns addressed. There are a lot of books out there in the secular market for working moms, and I read some of those books, and I did find them helpful, but I still felt they didn't really address, you know, let's say, my concerns as an observant Jewish woman, my daily and weekly challenges.
So you wrote it for a very specific, targeted market. Who published the book, by the way?
Feldheim Publishers.
Feldheim, very, very nice. That's great. And the book is out right now on the bookstores and everything?
Yes, they're on the Feldheim website.
You're doing the circuit, you're on Jay Leno and everything and so on, right? Okay.
Something like that.
Not yet. Okay. Instead of Jay Leno, you're on the Savitsky Talks program. Okay, that's not bad. Okay, so here's a question that I had, and I know this may be an interesting question, but is it really better to be a stay-at-home mom than a working mom? I mean, which is really better for the kids?
Okay, so now, you know, I really try in general to kind of stay away from the mommy wars, as we call them, and just, you know, what's better for the kids. I think that it is a very, very individual question and a very, very individual answer. I don't think that only is a one-size-fits-all approach for every family. I think that it's just an individual decision that has to be made by a mother, like in conjunction with her family, with her husband, taking into account like everyone's needs in the family. So there's so many different, I think, variables and dynamics that come into play when making the decision about whether or not a mom should work or should stay at home. I don't think there's just one answer that is best for every family. You know, some families, obviously, they're dealing with financial need, dealing with the dynamics of the couple, the temperament of the mother, the interests and wishes of the mother, you know, the needs of the children. Like, there's just so many different things that come into play. I don't think anyone can make a blanket statement that this is better for all children and this is better for all families. You know, some moms are better moms if they do get out of the house for a certain amount of hours per day. So when they come home, they're more fulfilled, they have an outlet, they're more patient, they're more loving. For other moms, they really can't handle the juggle. There's so many different things to juggle and balance on any given day. And for some moms, that can be very overwhelming. So it really, really depends on the family.
So there's no one answer, obviously. But I mean, how could you not say, you know, someone at home will devote it to their kids completely can't possibly do a better job than somebody who's there not as often? I mean, it's pretty hard to say that, right?
So I really don't feel, and this is something I spend so much time on and something that I, like, interviewed a lot of mothers with, I really don't feel that just because someone is home more that automatically makes them a quote-unquote, you know, better mother. I think that, firstly, being a good mom is hard for everyone. It's hard for stay-at-home mothers. It's hard for working mothers to really be present in the moment with your children, you know, totally attentive, you know, giving them focused quality time, you know, not getting overwhelmed by the housekeeping and the cleaning and the financial stress and, you know, the various responsibilities. This is a challenge for every mother. I don't think that this is something that just because somebody stays at home, they're automatically better at. You know, a mom could be at home all day, but could be very stressed and not necessarily giving their child, you know, that quality time. A mom could be away all day and be coming home and really sort of overcompensating and really making sure to give their children, you know, very quality focused time.
So you believe that there is this concept of quality time, which could compensate for quantity time?
I think that children need both. I think that especially young children, I think, don't really understand maybe the breadth of time, so that to a very young child, you know, a day can be a week and a week can be like a month. You know, I know that the reason I created the schedule the way I did, where I am home on Wednesdays, is because I didn't want to work like so many long days in a row. You know, I wanted to have two long days and then come home and have my Wednesday and sort of reconnect with my kids. Like, I felt like that was really important. I didn't want like 4 days to go by where I didn't feel like I was really experiencing that connection. I do believe that quantity time is important too, and I think that for working mothers, clearly that is their challenge. That's one of their challenges, you know, giving their kids that quantity time as well as quality time, and really making sure that they just have enough time doing regular, you know, everyday things, really right. Being with them, knowing what's going on in their lives, being there in the morning, being there in the evenings, and just experiencing those daily routines. So I think that that is sort of a risk, that is a challenge for the working mother. I do think it is important, but I don't think it's the be-all, end-all. I think that quality time piece is equally important.
Okay, I hear your point. It's a good point. Now, here's something that I've always thought about, and I'd like to ask your opinion about this, because, you know, you're kind of like, you've become an expert now. See, this is what happens. You've now become an expert. But somehow people always say, well, my kids are grown, so now I could go out and now I can work and so on. You know, I was home when they were little, but now they're grown. And somehow, I don't know if this is true, somehow I find that, like, teenage kids need more help from the parents, more supervision, more guidance, more direction. Maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe when they're little, you can work, but when they get a little bit bigger, especially teenage years, you have kids like from 12 to 18, you know, those years are critical years, where they're going to go, what they're going to do. I don't know. Am I wrong about this, or is it just me?
I think that you're making actually an excellent point. I myself don't have teenagers, but I interviewed a lot of women who do, and there is no question. Teenagers definitely need their parents. I think they need them a little differently, but they definitely need them just as much. I think that it would be a mistake for us to think that, you know, okay, now they're getting older, they don't need me as much. I definitely think they need their parents, but they need them a little differently. The physical care needs are not as great. You know, a mom of a teenager may not be bleary-eyed from being up the whole night, you know, nursing her baby, you know. But I think the emotional needs, and in a way you have to be so on your toes, you know, sort of with your teenage children, you have to be really be able to sort of connect with them in different ways, in creative ways. And I think that it requires a lot of time and also, like, emotional energy. And I definitely feel that I don't think that parenting needs are less as children get older at all.
I think so they're sometimes just different. You may have to adjust. Maybe people should rethink their position to a certain extent. And, you know, maybe they can work during the time the kids are little, but as they get older, till a certain age, you maybe have to change your schedule. So it's not like, okay, then now they're older, now I can work. But maybe it's really, I could work at a certain point, but when they reach a certain age, maybe I should really slow down a little bit for a few years, because you can't have it all. I mean, you know, you just can't. It's just impossible. So, you know, maybe it's something to think about. Maybe people out there want to comment on that. It'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. But now, if someone doesn't really, I mean, someone, look, so much of this is economic. You know, we live in a world today where you need almost a two-family income. But if someone didn't have, let's say there was a person that didn't have the financial need, would you recommend to that person that they actually work? I mean, maybe to be fulfilled or to have their professional career, but it wasn't a money situation. It was just strictly a personal situation.
You know, again, to me, this is very individual. Like, I would never pass judgment on someone else. You know, for myself, I happen to really love my job and find it very meaningful, and I also have a financial need to work.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So for
I understand that.
That's
right,
my
course.
Particular case. I think there are women, most of the women, let's say, that I had interviewed for my book, had a financial need to work, and I would say the majority of them did not find their job as enjoyable and meaningful as I did. And for them, it was really a challenge to get up and be positive and not send the message to their kids that, you know, this is, they're working, but they really don't want to be there, and not send sort of a message of maybe negativity to the family, because I think that the mom really sets that tone for the family. So I think that is the situation of many women. However, there are a lot of other women out there that feel they have certain talents, they have certain abilities, and they want to be able to express them through having a fulfilling career. I think that that's fine if, as long as the mom puts her children first, you know, and make sure that she spends that quality and quantity time with them. I think, again, like you mentioned before, with teenagers, maybe the quantity time is a little less and the quality time becomes a little bit more important as a teenager. But I think that a mother always needs to keep that focus, and I think that that's very important. But if she goes out and she, you know, fulfills some of her personal needs by working and then comes home better emotionally charged up to be there for her children, I think that's fine. You know, I don't think that's a judgment call for me, you know, for me to make.
Right, and you mentioned in your book that you use the word, the guilt word, and you say people should not feel guilty, you know, and, you know, this is something you kind of stress in your book, right?
I have an entire chapter devoted to guilt.
No kidding, just a chapter.
Entire chapter, because it is such an issue. And I don't always practice what I preach. There are plenty of times I feel guilty. Just the other day, you know, I had to leave for work and my kids, you know, it's really hard when I leave when my kids are sleeping in the morning and I really want to see them in the morning. But in a certain way, it's easier because when I leave when they're up, it's, you know, mommy, you know, don't go. And it's
right,
so,
right.
So hard. And no matter how many times it's happened, and no matter how many, you know, chapters I've written on it, you know, it just gets you, you know. And so it's very, very tough. But I really believe that, you know, a lot of mothers out there are just really trying their best to contribute to their families, you know, financially. Some women are supporting their husbands, you know, in Torah learning. They're contributing towards tuition. And they're really, really trying to be the best mothers they can be. And I just think that they deserve our support. They should not be made to feel guilty. And they should not make themselves feel guilty. I just think that guilt is very counterproductive. It emotionally drains them. And they need their emotional energy to focus on their family.
Okay. Well, no, that's great. That's great. And I know that there were certain tips. I know that I saw there were certain tips for the working mom, and some of them were accept your decision to work and come to terms with it, acknowledge your contributions, identify your weak spots, put your oxygen mask on first. What does that mean?
I think that we as working mothers are just so busy meeting the needs of our children, of our husbands, of our workplace, of our communities, you know, because we're a lot of, you know, from women, you know, we're involved in our communities, that our needs, you know, ends up sort of going to the bottom of the list, and we don't always take the time to, you know, take care of ourselves, eat properly, get rest, maybe engage in activity that rejuvenates us. And I think that, you know, self-care is important. It's hard to find the time for, but I think that, you know, working mothers should sort of give themselves permission to take care of themselves, too. You know, it's not indulgent. It's recharging them so that they can be there for
that's
everyone else in
and
a
you say
better
also
way.
Create boundaries. What do you mean by that?
I think for myself, you know, in today's day and age, you know, with technology, it's like we're constantly connected. We have Blackberries. We have, you know, computers, iPads, cell phones. We can be reached at all times. For me, a big part of really connecting with my kids is being in the moment with them and just really when I am with them, being focused, attentive, making eye contact, listening to what they're saying, you know, doing different activities with them that we both enjoy. And I just, when you don't have those boundaries and you're constantly being interrupted by your cell phone, by your latest email that came in on your BlackBerry, I just think it really takes away from that quality of time that you want to have with your children. So for me personally, I would rather even stay later in the office if I have to finish something and then come home and be 100% there for my family. That's what works, you know, for me, and that's really what I recommend, to create those boundaries.
Right, and that's the technology trap. You talk about it and so on. And, you know, you talk about kind of keeping things in perspective also, you know. What do you mean by that?
I just think that we can, you know, be hard on ourselves, and we, as working moms, I mean, all of us, you know, different things, and at certain times in our work lives, we can have just some very hectic weeks, you know, or days or weeks where we just feel, oh, this week was really tough, like I had to work extra hours, I wasn't as there for my kids, and we can sort of eat ourselves up with guilt over that. And I just think it's important to sort of look at the long haul, and obviously you don't want to have too many days in a row like that, and certainly not too many weeks in a row like that. We should just keep perspective, like as long as we're there for our kids, you know, in the long run, they know that that they are our priority, that they'll be able to manage even for a difficult day in the life of our, you know, of their working mom, or even a difficult, you know, week. Mm-hmm, I had interviewed some children of working mothers for my book, and
right.
I personally found it very, very reassuring. You know, these kids were really able to see, you know, that their moms tried, you know, to juggle a lot of things and really tried to be there for them at the same time. Like, they had perspective, because I interviewed kids ranging in age from, like, 11 to 27. So, and they really had that perspective. So, for me, that was encouraging, you know, to see,
that's
you know,
great.
The kids
no,
can,
when
they
you,
can
you
see
talk,
that.
And you talk about experiencing joy, that, you know, you think it's important to, you know, both at work and at home, you should experience joy, which is also, and take time to enjoy your kids. When you're with them, take time to enjoy them and use those moments, right?
100%. And this goes for, like, stay-at-home moms, too. I don't think this is exclusive to working moms. Like, there's just so much going on. Sometimes you're just, like, getting through the day, and I think it's just so important to just take a step back, put down your to-do list, and just experience joy. Do something fun with your kids, you know, totally be there with them and for them and present, and just enjoy them when you have these, like, happy moments together. Like, it's going to get you through your day, and it's going to really, I think, strengthen the connection that you have with your kids. And this, again, goes for stay-at-home moms, too.
So now, since you've written your book, I mean, has your life changed at all? I mean, are you speaking places and people calling you, and what's happened?
I have become a little busier. There's even more to juggle. No, I mean, Baruch Hashem, thank God, there's been a lot of interest in the book, and I've definitely had a lot of requests for interviews. I just was interviewed yesterday as well by a different magazine.
Oh, forget about it. I thought it was exclusive. Not radio,
magazine.
All right,
and
right,
it's definitely
okay.
There's been a lot of interest, which is good. One sort of pledge I made to myself when I wrote the book was that I didn't want to take away even more time from my kids, you know, by writing a book about how to be there for your kids, you know, even though you're working.
Right.
So I wrote the book, you know, late at night after my kids were sleeping. It took me 2.5 years, and I am proud to say that I really don't think it took away from them, you know, that project. And now I'm trying to make the same pledge, you know, to really just whatever different, you know, commitments might come up, to really do it at times that won't take away from my kids.
Fantastic. Well, it was very, very interesting. So we reviewed it in the Jewish Action in the winter edition of 2012. I know it's going to be in there. It's a nice review, by the way, a very, very nice review.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, very nice review, and I think that, you know, the people are going to enjoy it. So certainly for the target audience, this is a great something to look for in the bookstores. And Tzivia Reiter, who's the author, was here today. Briefcases and Baby Bottles, The Working Mother's Guide to Nurturing a Jewish Home. Well, congratulations on writing the book, and good luck to you. You know, I'm sure there'll be more books to come. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.